You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Five minutes after 8 on the West Coast. If you're a fat person on the East Coast, you got 55 minutes to wait to eat. So, see if you can stay busy. Joining us, I have no idea whether my guests today are fat or not. I don't think they are, but that's just me. We're going to do VA talk, which we love to do. And joining us is our favorite member of the VA, one and only magnificent bastard himself, Ben Kaler. What's going on, Ben? Hey, how's life?
Hey, life's good, Mike. Good to be back on the show after 18 months.
Yeah, I know. You come on the show, and then I'm like, hey, man, let's do this. And you're like, yeah, no problem. 18 months later, Kaler calls. Hey,
we
want to
come back and give you the update.
There you go. All right. And first of all, we'll meet you in a second, but we got to introduce a first-time participant on All Marine Radio, Tim Hoot. Is it Hudak or Hudak?
Hudak. Yep, you got it.
Hudak.
Hootie who?
Hootie who? The all right, Tim. First of all, born and raised where?
Illinois, Chicago. Southern Illinois, born but raised in Chicago. Yep.
Cubs or White Sox?
Of course, I'm a Cubs, Bears, and Hawks fan.
Right. All the White Sox fans say that now. The all right. what do you do at the VA?
I am the communications chief for the Veteran Experience Office. So Ben and I work pretty close together on the Veteran Experience Office.
Okay. Where did are you a veteran?
I am. I served in the Marine Corps from 2004 to 2009 as an intelligence analyst with HMH 363.
So what is HMH 363?
Heavy Marine Helicopter, the CH-53 Dirty D's, you know, those super shitters they call them.
All right. So, they're D's, though, not E's.
Right, the Deltas. They kind of got phased out not too long ago.
Yeah.
I guess a little bit of a while ago now, yeah.
Kinda. What, okay, so you're an intel guy. Now, did you enlisted officer?
Yep, I was enlisted. I got out, and I remember actually on my second deployment in Iraq, I was speaking with some contractors who were downrange supporting us, and we were having a cigar on one of Saddam's old bunkers at Al Asad, as I'm sure a lot of you all have spent time sucking sand there, and he told me about this school that I could go to that looked like Harry Potter's Hogwarts Castle, that I could get a degree in intelligence analysis. So I went to this school called Mercyhurst University in Erie, Pennsylvania, got a degree in intelligence, and that's how I got my got kind of sent towards Washington, D.C., and ultimately ended up in the VA.
Okay. So, again, what's your title?
Communications chief.
All right, and it's called the Veterans Experience Office, all right? And so, now, Kaler, back to you. For people that don't remember you because you haven't been on the show for so damn long, first of all, born and raised where?
Born and raised in Booth Bay, Maine.
All right, so he's
small little coastal town, about 3,000 people.
Okay. And how's the Marine Corps get on your radar?
Jeez, the Marine Corps got on my radar probably at a Memorial Day parade when I was 9 years old, watching my dad, a Vietnam veteran, marching that little hometown parade. And I don't know, I was just standing on the sideline there looking at him and said, I want to be a part of that that crew someday. So
your dad
got on my radar young and early.
Your dad, Marine in Vietnam?
Yeah, Dad was a Marine in Vietnam. He served two tours, one with 3rd Recon and then one with 3-3. He was a communicator by trade.
What year?
I was there, I'll say, what, 63 and 66 or 64 and 66.
Right.
You know, he did the initial landing at Da Nang.
Nice.
Was up on the rock pile for a bit. You know, came back and went right back over.
All right. The And so you knew you really had no choice if you were going to go in the military. If you didn't join the Marine Corps, your dad would look at you and go, "What an ass clown!"
Probably like a lot of Vietnam veterans. He never really spoke too much about the service.
Right.
He always showed that pride on Memorial Day and threw on a sport coat and went down and marched in the parade. But besides that, us up until probably high school, he told us he was a cook, stealing potatoes. he was always in trouble, so he was stealing potatoes.
What about you, Tim? How did the Marine Corps get on your radar?
Well, to be honest, I kind of had a friend of the family that was in the Air Force during Vietnam, and he told me, you have two options. You can be treated the best and join the Air Force, or you can be the best and join the Marines. And, you know, I knew I wanted to do some kind of military service after high school, and I ended up, being the best.
Whoa, from an Air Force dude. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how I knew it was legit, you know.
Yeah, that is legit. And you know what? The best part is that everybody knows it. Right. The commercials, they don't say that, but they know. We know that they know that we know that they know. We don't even have to say anything. All right. So, Kaler, so you joined the Marine Corps, and what do you become? Wait, where do you go to college?
So you
go to college. Where do you go to college?
I went to college at the Virginia Military Institute.
I didn't recall you were one of those doofuses. What is wrong with chasing girls in college and being a human being?
I guess I want to jump into that Spartan lifestyle.
All right, so you're a doofus. You go to VMI. I know those boys. Okay, and so you know you're going to be in the Marine Corps. You join the Marine Corps, and your dad's a communicator. You become a grunt, yes?
I did. I got out of VMI, graduated 2000, commissioned. I was a PLC guy. Did junior seniors over at OCS and Quantico in the summers, commissioned 2000, and then got to the fleet in May of 2001 and reported to 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines out there.
The magnificent bastards. Just so you know, they just did their McCree. Just to keep you updated. You deploy with them. Do you make the deployment to Okinawa and then go to Ramadi with them as well? Tell me about joining 2-4.
Sure. Like I said, May of 2001, and then, September 11th happened right a few months after I joined the fleet. We're already in a workup, so we deployed with the 31st MEU. You know, that six-month MEU, that infamous one where, the invasion kicked off in 03 there, and right. We got stop loss, stop move in place. So our MEU, I think it was about 11 months. The track company, though, I think they were there for like 13. We did that, and we were actually pretty lucky in our company. We stayed on ship a lot, went out and did some good training, got to see the South Pacific, went to East Timor, and, came home. And then went right back into the cycle, worked up, and deployed to OIF-2 in, March of 04, and did that deployment.
Okay. And then you're wounded in Ramadi. When were you wounded?
Yeah, I was wounded on March 23rd of 04, dismounted patrol, sweeping Route Nova up there on the north end of RAO. I was company XO with Sergeant Brown that day, and it's an early morning, and just that IED found me. So I was on a bird out of there, and woke up in Germany, and was there a couple weeks, and then continued my movement and rehabilitation across the country, and fought up for the unit when they got back in September. It was the initial the insurgency was really starting to take hold. Ramadi erupted. It was busy as soon as we got there, but in early April, the bastards went into a pretty heavy sustained engagement for about 3 days, and so we're starting to see a lot of wounded come back, and it was interesting to see everything. I would say much more organized today from what I hear, and right. Even when I got out in 2006, but we're going through those trials. You have 50, 60 guys in your battalion in the rear, all needing to go to appointments and rehab and starting to mobilize. So it's interesting to see that grow and I was going along in the process, but was able to, you know, work with the Marines and the battalion to make sure we were squared away and get what we needed.
All right. Your injuries, did you medically retire from the Marine Corps?
I did. I was medically retired in 2006 due to my wounds. You know, I was just shrapnel and, you know, severe blast wound to my left arm, from my armpit down to my mid-forearm. So, you know, I took 8 surgeries over a couple of years. And, of course, I'm left-hand dominant, so that's always key when you get hit the left side. But, you know, lucky. It's just sheer luck that day, you know, just one of those things. But, yeah, medically retired in 2006, and actually my last 2 years in the Marine Corps, after I left 2-4, I went down to MCRD San Diego, was able to be a series commander and operations officer down there and worked some awesome staff, NCOs, and put those recruits right, put the herds of recruits right through recruit training and get them out to the fleet. But
yeah,
we all realized then.
Guys like Tim.
Yeah, we all...
Yeah, actually, I think the times add up, so I think I was one of those came through there.
Yeah, looking at Captain Kaler all rocked up with his Purple Heart and everything.
I guess so.
Yeah, calling you a scumbag, telling you to get your ass out of your rack.
Staring at the Freedom Bird.
Exactly. All right, so Ben, tell everybody what you do for the VA.
Sure, so like I said, work for the Veterans Experience Office with Tim. I'm more of a field consultant, so I work up here in New England, work in the field with the community in general to link the community, state, and VA and kind of look at gaps and discuss what's happening in the field, you know, where we can fill the gaps and try to bring in some of the best practices across the nation to reach our veterans at the lowest level.
Yeah. All right. So, first of all, let me ask you for an opinion on a general question. You know, and Tim, being in communications, you probably know this better than anybody. Whenever you see a headline that says VA in it, right, 50-50 chance it's going to be something good or something bad. And so, what do you say to guys, both of you, that have had bad experiences with the VA? Because let me tell you, I have all kinds of Marines and guys from Vietnam, from all kinds of eras that come on this program. And, some of them have great experiences with the VA. Some of them don't. The ones that don't tend to stop going. You know, I'll tell you, a guy from, well, he's in 1-5, he's in Ramadi, a PFC in Ramadi and just did an incredible thing. They're on top of a building, between, Ben will know this, where this is, so the rest of you don't worry about it, between the snake pit and the governance center on Route Michigan, right? So they're on a high rise as you're going towards downtown on the right hand side, cause it dominates the block. And there's a drone overhead videotaping this. And so he takes his turn up on top, a PFC with a saw. They get into a gunfight from their right, which is towards the governance center. And so they're slinging lead in that direction. And all of a sudden, from the left, an explosion at the gate of the compound that has a squad of Marines and about 20 Iraqi soldiers in it. And they get knocked to the deck. So this kid gets up, right, and he looks through the smoke, and guess what's coming through the smoke, Ben?
What?
Water truck, right? Water truck's coming that's packed with explosives. He sees it coming through the smoke, and without an order, he engages the cab. And he kills the driver, got a dead man switch, and the drone captures, it looks like dominoes, two buildings getting knocked down with this explosion. Okay? Anyway, gets out of the Marine Corps, medically retired, and he feels horrible about that. He can't redeploy again with 1-5 the next time they go back to Iraq. And so he's dealing with, you know, probably post-traumatic stress and whatever. He goes to the VA, and he sees four different therapists in 4 different appointments, and then he stops going. And I know that that's probably not typical for everybody, but it is for some guys, and I want you to speak to them, people that are disaffected. What do you say to those guys? Because my message is, hey, look, you have to improvise, adapt, and overcome. Go meet other Marines at the Marine Detachment or the Marine Corps League Detachment in your area. They've been dealing with the VA for a long time. They can tell you, either the Veteran Services officer in your county, the VA, they'll give you a point to plug in at where if you're frustrated with something, they'll help you. So that long-winded question, Tim, you go first because you're an enlisted guy. What do you tell guys like that?
Yeah, that's something that actually I love to talk to veterans like that, because I know we can connect and we can solve those problems. Because, like you said, adapt, overcome, improvise. It's only a matter of trying something new and finding a new avenue, because there are so many great people who work at the VA, and it's not that difficult at times to find somebody and try something new that's going to get you the outcome you want. Now, one thing that, you know, I know Ben loves doing this and talking to veterans and trying to solve those problems, is that's what our whole organization was pretty much stood up to do, is listen to the voice of the veteran. And I can segue into something to provide people who have those experiences, something that we've been working on called the VA Welcome Kit. And like you said, it's a big organization. There's a lot of literature out there. It's confusing. I mean, I use VA for everything. And before, for healthcare, and I've had surgeries at the VA before, and even being a VA employee, it's overwhelming sometimes to know where to start. And that's what veterans were telling us. You know, we don't know where to start. There's so much information out there, information overload. What do we do? So we did develop something called the VA Welcome Kit. We just released it last week. And it's a pretty quick guide, Barney style, by the numbers. This is how you enroll in healthcare. This is how you go for benefits, step by step. These are the points of contacts for all the different program offices you need. And it's kind of down and dirty, simple information. But what I tell veterans specifically, though, is, and by the way, your 50-50 number, I would say there's way more negative stuff in the media out there than there is positive, because in general, positive stories are not told. It's not sexy enough to be on TV. But there's so many amazing things happening at VAs across the country that it's a shame. There's a lot of really great stuff. But you're right. There's a reputation problem. There's a trust problem. And I do recommend to all veterans to keep trying and try something new. Like you said, if you can go to a different VA, if you feel better about that, do that. Go talk to your patient advocate. And I know Ben has a lot of experience and information here, but if you're interested in get that kit that we just came out with, you can go to vets.gov/VA-Welcome-Kit, or you can just search that on vets.gov, and I'll send you a link. Maybe you can include it in your transitional information section on the website.
I was being nice when I said 50-50. I don't want to, like, be an asshole about it. You know,
oh, yeah. No. Let's live in the reality. You know, the VA, other hospitals, the healthcare systems, they don't have to report things. They don't have to be transparent about things. They have multi-million-dollar PR companies. The fact of the matter is VA's healthcare is consistent and the same as other healthcare, private healthcare across the country. And more importantly, veterans who are in the VA overwhelmingly say that they are having or completely satisfied with the care they receive from the VA. So we do need to communicate that more, and we do need to work on the trust with veterans. That's absolutely sure, though.
All right. Ben, your thoughts on that? As a guy who's rolling around out there on the ground, I'm sure you deal with it a lot. What do you say to veterans? Because again, I just tell them, hey, oh, so you just quit going? You're entitled to those benefits. They're free, right? And it can be frustrating, but get your ass back in there and get the help that you deserve so you can be full up brown for your family and everybody else. So,
sure. I hear you. That's the reason why I joined the VA. You know, once I got out, I worked in the civilian sector for a couple of years, and then missed the mission, missed that purpose. You know, Mike, we talk a lot about purpose, and you know, I heard a lot of grumblings from the Marines that I served with, and I said, you know, I did a DOD acquisition up until I joined the VA you know, going on 2 years this May. And I was like, you know, I had a great opportunity with VEO, Veterans Experience Office, and jumped on board because I heard the grumblings. I said, you know what, if I can make a small difference and start to impact the veterans at my level, then, you know, we can slowly start to change that culture, that perception. Because you're right, the VA has a lot of great things. You know, that young Marine that goes in and has four different therapists, you know, yeah, he's frustrated, he's discouraged, but I'm with you, and link that veteran. The best thing that veteran can do is, you know, link up with one of the brothers or sisters they served with, find out what's working for them, connect with that county VSO, connect with that community group, the community veteran engagement boards that we're involved with across the country. There's currently 136 of them. And get you the website so the veterans can look that up, and it's basically just a conglomerate of folks from the state, community, and VA that come together to solve veterans' issue and hear the voice of the veteran and try to make that change. You know what? If it didn't work for that veteran there, I'd say, you know, go over to the vet center. You know, try the vet center approach and then circle back with the hospital.
Ben, just explain explain the vet center and the vet center relationship. Vet center is really cool if you've never been to one. That's how I plugged in to the VA for the first time. Explain the relationship between the vet center and Big VA.
Sure. So the vet center are psychologists and outreach specialists, and they're in locations outside the hospital. And what's interesting, going throughout New England and my travels, is that every one of them is a little bit different. They're really laid back, a place to hang out. They have group meetings. They have individual meetings. The majority of the counselors are combat veterans, and that's one of their, that's one of the approaches they take. And the medical records are kept separate from the hospital. So if you go there, it's not connected back to the hospital psychologist, it's separate. If they want to connect up and go back to the hospital, they can share those records if the veteran chooses. They're just really, the connection can be made. They're warm, they're welcoming. There's usually a pool table, a TV, ping pong table, and, if you're a veteran out there looking to connect, it's a good place to start because, again, they have a Vietnam veterans group, they have the OIF, OEF, veterans group, and then individual, and they try alternative therapy methods too. VA is going along, and willing to try new things and making a lot of changes, Reiki, therapy. They're doing some acupuncture now, some different alternative, pain management, deals are coming out. So they're a really good place to start if the hospital didn't work out, but don't give up on the hospital either because, you'll find the right person. And those community veteran engagement boards, great place to connect. And if that veteran's having real issues and doesn't feel like his voice is being heard, we were tasked with setting up the president's hotline this past year. So when President Trump came in, he wanted a veteran's hotline. So we've established that. It's fully rolled out and running. And that veteran can call that hotline and get a warm body, talk to that person, and they can work through that issue together. And that number for veterans out there listening is 800-948-2311. That's 800-948-2311. And that person will help you work through your issues and get you connected to some good resources.
Okay. Just so everybody knows, when this goes up on the All Marine Radio website and I blast it out on Twitter and Facebook, I'm going to include the links to that, the Barney style package that, that Tim talked about, and also the 800 number and also what do you call those boards, Ben?
Yes, community veteran engagement boards. And I'll give you the site and you can basically click on the state you live in and you'll see where the closest board is. And, they're always looking for new members. You come down, get involved. It's great. Group to be involved with, they can help steer you in the right direction, or you can just become a member of the board as a veteran and join in helping to fill a gap that's identified in your local region or local area and try to make positive change for veterans.
Okay. The again, my guest this morning, very graciously, is a battle buddy of mine. We were both in Ramadi at the same time and crossed paths after this, after our time in Ramadi. The guy who kind of plugged us in is a guy named Dave Harrell, who's a great guy and who's a buddy of Ben's, and they were in the same battalion together. And and my, you know, Major General Paul Kennedy, who was the battalion commander of 2-4 in Ramadi, is one of my best friends. And to this day, so General Kennedy, still at it over Marine Corps Recruiting Command, but Ben Kaler from the VA and Tim Hudak, also from the VA. And so if you got any if you have any questions, email, you can email the program and we'll go ahead and tee those up. Ben, I want to ask you though, you've we were talking a week or two ago, and you were fired up about a couple initiatives that you have going. Sure. And tell us about them.
Sure. Great. Thanks. So, I was working with a community partner, Genesis Behavior Health, and you know, it's privatized up here in New Hampshire. But what New Hampshire has done is they put a military liaison in each of the healthcare centers, and you know, we're talking, we're getting to know each other over the years. You know, what's another way to engage rural veterans? I mean, we are, you know, this is not San Diego County where we are. This is there's no military installation, there's no brick and mortar, there's no activity per se in big numbers. It's a lot of National Guardsmen, and you kind of, once you discharge, you're kind of out here, and there's not a lot to lean back into the what it would be like if you're outside Camp Pendleton. So we wanted a way to engage those rural veterans, and we found within the VA an existing program through the VHA Office of Rural Health called the Community Clergy Training Program. So the community partner and I called them up and said, so what do you guys do? And they said that they have a program where they go out and train community clergy on veterans within their area that attend their church. So one of the things that really spiked my interest was that I learned that a high number of veterans do reach out to their clergy for support, and that if we can train the clergy to work with veterans, their family members, and their caregivers, then those folks will be able to connect the veterans back to either the VA, the state, or the community resources they need. So, with that being said, what we did was I said, well, what value can I add? I said, well, listen, I've been in the community, and my partner, Ed Drury, I said, we know the players up here. I said, if you guys are willing to come up, what we'll do is we'll find you that host church, and we'll rally and get the word out and get people to the event. So they came up to New Hampshire last May. They were excited about it, and we worked hard to get the word out. And you know what? We trained 70 clergy and lay people at three sites across New Hampshire.
Wow.
What do we train them in? Military culture. Building community partnerships, touched on, you know, pastoral care for veterans, and I tied in working with a local hospital to bring in the suicide prevention coordinator to conduct, SAVE training, which was great. And it was an amazing event, because some of the clergy, they're aware of their veterans. They deal with a lot of different groups within their churches, but a lot didn't understand what it meant to serve. You know, how to connect with veterans that, you know, stood on the yellow footprints and raised their right hand. When they left, and we brought in community resources as well, they knew where to turn. They know they could put a face to a name and say, I can call, you know, the suicide prevention coordinator. I can call the local VSO. I can call the National Guard's Yellow Ribbon Program coordinator. So they had those resources. We kept going with it because the momentum was there. We went from New Hampshire over to Vermont and then down to Western Mass. And throughout a period of 6 months, we trained at 9 sites and trained about 200 clergy and lay people. And great success. We're hoping to bring it up to Maine in the spring. And then we'd like to conduct a pilot through our community groups, community veteran engagement boards, where potentially they could host the clergy events for the hospital and bring it national. That would be a great goal to achieve. So that was one.
Let me ask Tim a question about, because what you're doing really is demystifying this whole post-traumatic stress thing. And I think it's important because we didn't corner the market on it because we fought. You know, there's rape victims, there's child abuse victims. There's people that are traumatized by violent events that they simply witness and they're scarred for their life. So to me, this is a huge deal, and it's also a huge deal because of the mental health issues around the country. Tim, let me ask you, is this something that, you know, I know that Ben's started up in New Hampshire and looking to spread it to Maine. Is this something that is on the VA's radar? Because to me, demystifying the fact that, guess what, you know, when guys and women come back from combat, they're going to be different. That experience changes them. I had these guys from Case on. God, it's no wonder they're not all crazy in the head, man, after what those guys did. And I'll tell you what, I'll send you both a link, and I want you to listen to it. It's a documentary called Bravo! Exclamation mark. Common Men, Uncommon Valor. It's about Bravo Company 126 at Quezon in 1968. They're there for all 77 days. They're 18, 19, 20-year-old young guys, the majority of them. They go out, and on a patrol of 60, they have 27 guys get killed. And they don't bring the bodies back, right? They walk into a battalion-level ambush as a reinforced, you know, platoon patrol. And they, Marines don't, we all know, Marines don't leave Marines, right? Well, they left their guys. They go back out there a month later, and they call it the payback. And it was a misty morning, and the NVA didn't see them coming. But when you see these guys sitting in front of a camera doing oral history interviews, it's as vivid 46, 47 years later than it was that day. And you're watching them, and you're going, holy shit, man. They're there. They're not in somewhere in Louisiana doing an interview. They're in that trench line. And so to me, the value of that is so that we all know it's not going away. You're not getting over it. So you better learn to coexist with it, and we better learn to demystify this. Right? Because the Vietnam generation is still dealing with that shit. So, Tim, to you, these kind of programs, the demystification of this, the outreach of that, is that something the VA is trying to do more of to get people not to view this as some kind of crazy event that a lot of people are affected by post-traumatic stress?
Oh, yeah. And you're absolutely right. And yeah, the VA, that's definitely registering on our radar. One thing that I know Ben with this whole program, he's been working with the Office of Rural Health and also with our other VA mental services offices. But I think one thing that we can really offer here, and we have been offering, is taking programs because one size does not fit all here. There are many solutions, and there are many things that work. And, of course, there's many things that don't work, but we can't approach this with the mentality that there's only one way, and one way in, one way out, one way to reach veterans like this. And I think Ben's work here on this program, that's kind of what our office is about, is identifying best practices. What's the best way to reach veterans in rural areas who maybe previously are underserved by VA so they can get the support and get the services that they need and have earned? And so by taking programs like this, that Ben and the clergy program, and looking at that from a program level and saying, where can we apply this elsewhere in the country? That's how we really see strides in accomplishing our goal of serving veterans and where and when they need it.
All right. Ben, yeah. let me...
Mike,
go ahead.
Yeah, let's just say one more thing. You know, Office of Rural Health, they come up with a metric like that if you train one clergy, it has the potential to reach 10 veterans.
Right.
That struck me hard as well. And, you know, when you look at the suicides where you have 20 veteran suicides a day, six of them are connected to VA healthcare, 14 are not. Well, that tells me that if we're out there training clergy, there's potential to get upstream, to identify issues, to get that, maybe one of those 14, two of those 14 connected to state or community care, get upstream, identify it long before they come to that point. You know, that's why I saw what the Office of Rural Health is doing and my community connection with, understand the lay of the land up here and just bringing two things together. It's a great partnership and we're hoping to keep it going.
Wow. Okay. Now there's a second piece to this. What is it?
Sure. The second piece is Storytellers Act. So, a while back, we partnered up with, Got Your Six. Got Your Six does the TED Talk styles to, change the perception of vets. You actually hit on it earlier that, a lot of the communities of civilians, view vets as either, broken or heroic. Where in fact, the majority of us lie in between. We serve our country, come home, we stay in touch with our battle buddies and we raise families. We are active in the community and, we took the lessons we learned in the military and applied to life and go on. And success can look a lot of different ways. You could be that high school football coach that won a state championship, or maybe you run a small, veteran-owned company that, does, tents and tables business, which is one of our speakers last week. But anyway, we brought this, we partnered up with Got Your Six, we brought this out to the community board and said, hey, would you like to host a TED Talk style that tells the positive, successful story of the veteran? And a lot of CVEBs raised their hand, actually 15 since November, and the impact of those stories, you know, it's combat veterans, non-combat veterans, genders, ages, you know, we did it in math last week, we had, 80 folks in attendance. We live streamed it. We've had like 221 views as of yesterday. Reached 1,000 folks, but it's telling that positive story to help change society's view of veterans. Start to integrate them that hey, having a veterans in your community is a great thing. They're valuable to the community and the community's success, and to understand us better. To listen to these stories is pretty powerful.
And is that something you guys are just up to doing regionally or what?
So it's nationwide. And I wanted to add one more thing about, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, you know, Sebastian Younger's book, Tribes, and it's definitely right out of there. In fact, Sebastian was kind of a partner and advisor on this process.
What's bullshit about Younger? I'm the one who started saying tribes, okay? Younger lifts it off me. He doesn't footnote me, right? He's knocking off my shit, so I have him on the program. I'm like, Younger, what's your deal, man? He's like, what? I'm like, you knocked my stuff off and didn't footnote it. He's like, whoa, Mac, why are we saying this in public? I'm like, yeah, because I'm going to sue your ass. So it's really crazy. If you haven't read that book, the book's called Tribes. And it's about post-traumatic stress and the way different cultures have dealt with it. And it's very interesting book. He's a really interesting guy who spent some time in Ramadi as well. So Younger, man. Yeah, Younger's on my shit list, man. He's on my list.
but it is going nationwide, and it has been nationwide. We've had these events across the country. And if you Google Storytellers X, you'll find a lot of information on that. And we're also looking to the next iteration of these. What is next year's going to look like? Well, this last year, a lot of it was centered around Veterans Day, and then we had some other communities, like Ben's communities, that just recently had them. But it's a great event. It's great for communities, and we're always looking for more communities to sponsor them. And we're looking forward to what next year or this coming year is going to bring for Storytellers X.
Wow. Okay, and we will put that link to that program into.
Yeah, we owe you a lot of links.
You know what? Because you know what, and this is why it's cool to do this, Kaler. Write yourself a note, you know, genius. Because we don't hear this stuff enough, right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that will listen to this and ought to go ask their clergyman. Hey, have you ever taken any training about the military and post-traumatic stress and the different options when guys come to you with problems? And so there's so much, you know, again, what dominates the news, you know, always is bad stories, right? Good story. You're not going to see a good story about the VA appear in the front page of the Washington Post, but you'll see a bad one, right? All the time. And so, anyway, so that's why Kaler needs to get off his dead ass and come on Almarine Radio and preach the gospel. Because if you guys aren't preaching it, guess what? It's not getting preached. My point to Kaler, Memo, is this.
Why are you keep saying my name?
Why are you dogging?
No, definitely. That's why we're back here. That's why we're back here, man. We're here to share that gospel, get it out there, and you know what? We're going to give you two or three good links. We're going to give you a solid President's Hotline number, and I think we can do this again with Tim in another year and just keep on doing it. But Storytellers X,
if I have to wait a year, I won't have you two clowns back on. I'll find army guys who understand what communications is all about. Okay. Let me read you an email.
Yeah.
Mac, first of all, awesome segment to the show, and I for one vote that these guys come back on a more regular basis. I remember the other interview with Kaler, and I remember some of the other ones with guys from 2-4. I specifically remember his opso, Dave Harrell, saying that you could put a shotgun to my genitals, and I don't know if I could vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Actually, one of the funnier quotes ever on Almarine Radio, Dave Harrell in his Mississippi voice saying, I think it's a Mississippi voice, he's living there now. He said, it was before the election, Mac, I don't know if this is our choice, man. I don't know where I'm going to vote for because you could put a shotgun to my genitals and I don't know if I could, pull the lever for either one of them. Anyway, my question is this. I have severe mental health issues. I don't have another VA hospital close to me, and the one that I've gone to, I've had some real run-ins with, to the point where, like the guy you talked about earlier, I don't go back. What should I do? Who do I talk to? I need to go back because I can't afford other health care, but I probably lost my cool there. What do I do to repair it? Is there somebody there that they know that I can talk to that sits in most VA hospitals and will help me repair the damage and get the help that I need? This is probably not foreign to you two.
All the hospitals have a patient advocate. They're there to act on behalf of the veteran and hear their side of the story and then work towards a resolution. So I would go into the patient advocate's office and sit down and tell them what's going on and work towards that resolution. That's what they're there for.
Okay, patient
advocate. If I could add, the vet center would be great as well because that's not in the hospital. You know, those are in shopping malls and outlet malls type of places away from us. They're designed to be away from the hospital, so it's a good environment to go to. And then if you still don't find satisfaction there and you still need some help, I mean, of course, Ben and I can help you. And, of course, mm-hmm. the VA White House hotline, that's pretty a great resource for where to go when you've tried everything else and you're not seeing progress.
Awesome. Another email. Mac, I've never been to the VA. When I left the Marine Corps, I went to work, and I pretty much used my work health care. But I really do need to go see somebody. Is big VA hospital better than Vet Center? What would they recommend? And then he writes underneath this, Vet Center is closer to me. What do you guys recommend?
I would say, I'm probably both too as well. Maybe start with the vet center that's close. Go in there and start talking to some folks in there and then whether you need health care, that may spiral out of, you know, starting out with the vet center. And then you could go through enrollment process, see if you're eligible, et cetera. But, you know, a nice place to start there. You could also go to the community-based outpatient clinics, you know, those surround the main hospitals. Look online in your local area. Look at the main hospital, and you'll see outliers that are smaller facilities surrounding your hospital, and you know, you could go there as well.
All right. Anything else?
No, you hear that a lot. At least I do in my travels, where you know, a lot of veterans haven't gone to the VA. You know, they never thought, maybe they're not eligible, or it's not for me, it's for combat vets. Well, you know what, if you raise your right hand and sit on the yellow footprints, go check it out, see if you are eligible, see where you stand with your GI Bill, see where you stand with getting a home loan. There's so much more to the VA than just healthcare, that you may have forgotten since you got out and you were rushing to get out of service because you're ready to go and your bags are packed, that you weren't paying too close attention at TAP and TAMP. And you know what? That roadmap, the welcome kit is going to be a great starting point for you to just kind of see where you are in your life. You know, whether maybe you're a Vietnam era veteran. Okay. So I'm at retirement age. Boom. You slide down and look and say, hey, these are the things I should be thinking about at this point in my life. And it helps you and guides you towards that end state of what's important to you at the phase of the life you're in. So that roadmap could really help. But, you know, also, veterans, they should use the VA if they can. You know, I use both. You know, I have TRICARE because I'm a retired Marine, and I use the VA healthcare system. I go in for my annual physical. I don't need a lot of assistance right now with it. I saw that at the local hospital up here got a grant for some alternative pain management type stuff I was talking about earlier. So I was like, you know, I still have my wife massage my arm at night so I can fall asleep because it's all messed up. So I said, well, maybe I could get some support through there. So I signed up for that program. You know, there's a lot of different things, but unless you got to take that step forward and go in and find out what's available to you. And by you going to the hospital, it helps other veterans. Maybe I don't need it as much in my life right now, but by me going, it brings money to the healthcare system, and more services are added as a result of me going. So I may be helping a brother or sister that needs it more than me right now. Maybe in 30 years, I'm going to be the guy in there with needing two knee replacements and a pacemaker. Well, then it would be my turn. But by me helping and going and getting services now, I'm helping veterans that are in more need of it right now and in the present.
All right. My guest this morning, very graciously, two Marines joining us, Ben Kaler. Is a Veterans Experience Officer and a Community Engagement Division. So he's out in the field up in the New Hampshire, Maine area. And then Tim Hudak, who's a VA Veterans Experience Office. He's a Communications Chief there. Both served in the Marine Corps, now serving veterans, and graciously joined us this morning doing real talk about the VA with veterans, which is, I know what they love to do. Another email, and Tim, you can take a crack at this. Where's the best place to go for employment opportunities at the VA? I've struggled since I got out because I haven't found purpose. All Marine Radio serves as kind of a daily bit of Novocaine for me in my current job. I listen, it makes me laugh, I feel like I'm part of my culture, and I heard Mac do a segment about people that live purpose-driven lives who go into the civilian world and then begin working for money and how it simply doesn't make sense for them. I am that personified. Listening to you guys this morning, that rekindles the idea that I've had in my head that working for the VA might be a good thing for me. Wonder where I plug in. So employment opportunities for guys who have the same kind of feelings that you guys obviously have.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to those feelings. My first place where I worked when I got out of the Marines in college, I didn't feel it. I was missing that. And when I got to the VA, it was great. And, you know, purpose-driven, being with a lot of other people and veterans that get it. And, you know, we're about 43 or 44% veteran in the VA, and it's really great. But different resources there, you can go to vacareers.va.gov, and they're all listed there. You could go to jobs.gov, and search through for VA jobs there. But also, if you Google VA vocational rehabilitation and employment services, there are tools out there as well to help veterans find employment anywhere, not just at the VA. I'd also like to add quickly about two other great tools on vets.gov. We said vets.gov a lot during the program. It's a great place to visit. It has a lot of streamlined processes on there. But you can go there and apply for your new veteran ID card. Let's say you don't use VA for anything, but you want a VA ID card. You can do that now by going to vets.gov. And if you have a something other than honorable discharge and you want to apply for an upgrade, before the process was really hazy, but you can go to vets.gov and there's a whole process and streamline to how to apply for a discharge upgrade.
And that, again, if that sounds foreign to you, just do a little bit of a news search. There's been a lot written about it in the last 12 to 24 months. And the steps are out there now that are pretty clear. If you believe that a lot of times it was guys with post-traumatic stress issues that were acting out, and then their discharge was characterized by that acting out phase. There's an avenue for you to change that, or at least to have it looked at. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're talking about. All right. This is the general article portion of the program. Kaler, what haven't I asked you that you want people to know today?
Yeah, one more thing on employment, and I'll get to that. I'd also tell veterans out there that are looking to work for the federal government to get back in and have that higher purpose, like, you know, I felt, and that's why I came back to the government. Don't get so set on one job. My recommendation would be just to get your foot in the door, all right? So look at multitude of opportunities. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Look at a bunch of stuff, because once you get in, then you can start to move around, but get your foot in the door. So, to go in with an open mind, you know, search those sites Tim mentioned and just start applying for jobs. I'd also recommend, you know, if you think that, one resume fits all, you're mistaken. So you gotta take the time and tailor your resume to that applies to the job announcement. Pick out those keywords and apply to what you've done, what you're doing, look back in the Marine Corps, or whatever branch you're in, what you're doing now, and you can, you know, tailor your resume to ensure that it fits the job description if you meet the requirements. If you think it's something you've done, well, you've got to update your resume with each job announcement to get in there. To your question, I would say, you know, to the veterans out there, just, you know, if you run into trouble, don't give up. Don't be stubborn and don't go back. You know, talk to your brothers and sisters. Get in touch with your unit organization. Get in touch with the VSO, and keep pushing forward, because you know, the services that you've earned, you should go in and take the government up on what you've earned. So don't get discouraged. Keep up the fight. Talk to folks. Just keep talking. You know, peer support is critical. It's working. It's working for people out there. So find what works. Don't get discouraged and just keep pushing forward. And we're going to keep pushing in the communities. And you know what? We'll meet in the middle and get you what you need.
You know what? That's a good way to look at it. We'll meet in the middle. The Tim, anything I didn't ask you that you want to make sure people know?
Oh. I think definitely echo what Ben said, but I wanted to also throw out there, you know, if you're looking for some purpose and if you have time to spare, please consider volunteering at the VA. We have a lot of great programs and a lot of things that, you know, maybe it's just temporary, but that's a great way to get into the door at the VA too. If they know you and you've already established yourself at the VA as a, you know, volunteer once in a while, that it's a lot easier to get your foot in the door that way. But also, it's just a good thing to do. And, we could always use a couple more Marines volunteering to navigate veterans where to go.
You can tell the Marines, they're the loud ones. Hey! I went to the rededication. I went to the rededication of the 1st Marine Division Battle Colors a week ago Friday. And it was awesome, right? They take all the streamers off the division colors at the Blue Diamond at the headquarters. And, like, veterans that participated in the campaigns that are still alive walk up there with the ribbon in their hand. There was a guy from Guadalcanal.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a guy from Guadalcanal there. You know, walking up, and you know, and they're older now, but some of them are big dudes, and you're like, what was he like as a, like, 19-year-old PFC or Lance Corporal in Vietnam or Korea or whatnot? And I'll tell you what, it was a very humbling experience to be able to stand, you know, I probably not raised not a whole lot different than Ben, but go to parades when you're young, you see your dad and other veterans in parades and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, one day, you get to stand with those guys, you know? And it's a pretty humbling experience to be included in that group that, you know, of being called a combat veteran and get to stand next to those guys. Anyway, I just want to say it was so cool. And they are such a great asset for this kind of, whether it be mental health or frustration and anger, because they've been through it all. And they went through it when there was none of this. There was none of these programs. And so I would say we have an obligation to volunteer. We have an obligation, you know, for instance, the Marine Corps League. Red Blazers, those red piss cutters, not for me, right? Well, let me just tell you, I think, and they know that too, so it's not mandatory anymore. Just so you know, because they know they have an image problem. I think, Tim, you mentioned that we have an image problem. Well, the Marine Corps League knows it has an image problem because younger Marines look at that and say, yeah, those are those crazy old dudes rolling around with red piss cutters and red blazers. I'm not doing that. And so, but we have a responsibility to be a presence in our community, to volunteer in our community, to reach out to other veterans because there's guys like Ben and Tim that are pushing from their end. And it's not going to work unless we push from our end. And that's, if you don't have any issues, good for you. There might be a day, though, that you will have issues. So you, Mr. No Issue Man, you need to volunteer. Okay? And in that way, we build it. Because we have a moral responsibility to do that. And so I just want to make that to everybody, that you have a responsibility to join the Marine Corps League. Right? And tell them, yeah, I don't want to wear the red piss cutter. Go to the meetings, meet those guys, network with them. And I will tell you what, I've heard guys talk about, I got a better job. You know, I met these guys. You know, I started doing stuff with them. I volunteered with them. We fixed up one of their guys' house. You know, he got sick and with cancer and he couldn't take care of his home anymore. We went there and worked all day. And I came home. It was like, I felt like $1 million because I did it. That's our responsibility, not only to the VA, the Marine Corps League, and other veterans. So on that note, I want to thank both you guys for, A, what you do, coming on the program. And as I said, Kaler, if I have to wait for a year to have you back on, I will ruin your reputation. I will make it a personal mission of mine, okay? Because I wasn't a good officer, okay? I was effective, but I'm not a good human being. I will ruin you every chance I get, Kaler. Tim, you're safe, okay?
Bring it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. This was great.
No, you guys, and I'll tell you what, I'll shoot you a list of all the different links that I need from whether that chaplain program, story time, vet center link, patient advocate link, the hotline number, the VA employment link, and obviously, if you could send me the link to vets.gov. But I'll send you a list of that. You send it back to me. I'll include it in what I send out today. And hopefully, again, one more step in the march towards meeting in the middle.
Yeah, you know, we'll get you the President's Hotline link. We'll get you all that stuff, the phone number. And, hey, thanks a lot, Mac. And you just give a call, and Tim and I will come back with more info and another way to connect with veterans.
All right, bud. Tim Hudak, communication, intelligence marine, and an enlisted guy. But we allow enlisted people on the program. They're human beings, too.
Oh, it's very gracious of you.
Hey, I told you about it. We got to give back, man. Look, we know you. We know the wayward children need help. That's why we have officers. And Ben Kaler, a former Magnificent Bastard, have both been gracious enough, joined us. They both work for the VA. Men, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. God bless you, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
There you have it. We're going to take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.